Well, how's everyone doing today? Isn't it a great day to be alive? I mean, my goodness, it's beautiful outside, snow's coming. How many of you guys are excited about that? You know, there's never a bad day to be alive in Fairbanks, Alaska. Am I right in saying that? The interior of Alaska, best place on planet Earth. Hey, you probably heard about life groups are launching. I don't do this all the time, but I'm asking you to do me a favor and yourself a favor. This fall, we're hitting one of the most pivotal seasons in the history of our church. Our church is 81 years old, and we have such incredible history here at True North Church of people who have been a part of our church for decades, 8 decades strong. And but yet we're in a season, pivotal season. We're moving into to build a new building, a generosity initiative. And our life group series this year are to prepare us for the journey God has us on. And for the first several weeks, there's going to be a series we'll be watching on in people's homes on from Robert Morris on the blessed life, how to live in blessings that God has for us. And then the last 5 weeks of life groups will be a sermon-based discussion from our church pastor. These series is coming up. And I would just beg you, please, for yourself's sake, and don't miss out on what God is doing in Fairbanks, Alaska through True North Church. And so find your pocket of people. I promise you, you will grow. You'll find some other folks to grow with, and I want to encourage you with that. Hey, we're in a series called Possibilities. Say Possibilities.
Possibilities.
And, you know, we're in this series because the book of Joshua is a book about possibilities. It's a book about all that God wants to do through God's people. The book of Joshua is the book where God's people cross over into the promised land. And they cross into the promised land because these folks that crossed over, their parents, when they were on the verge of going to the promised land under Moses' leadership, and they came back and said, man, the people are too big, it's too hard, we're like grasshoppers. And because of their disobedience, they didn't experience all God had for them. But there's possibilities. So no matter what your lineage is or your family life in the past was like or your marriage was like yesterday, or there's possibilities for a great, 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 great tomorrow. How many believe that? And I believe our best days are ahead, individually and as a church. So today we're gonna talk about the story after, last week we talked about they crossed over the Jordan River. It was a flood stage, and as soon as the priest touched the water cut off, stopped flowing, piled up 16 miles upriver, and completely was dry enough that an entire 5 million people, they believe, crossed the Jordan River on dry ground during flood stage. That's a miracle. They get over to the other side, and when they're there, Joshua gives a command. He says, find 12 leaders, go back to the center of the river where the priests are standing and grab 12 stones, one stone per tribe. And come back over here and build a memorial. Pastor Rob was telling me, he was over in Jordan as a YWAM director for the nation. He says, Mark, the whole place is rock. The landscape is rock. But there weren't river rocks out there. There were rocks cut from, you know, just it was different types of a rock formation. So when you walked by and saw 12 huge river rocks in one location, you'd say, why are those rocks here? And tonight we want to talk about these memorial stones, these rocks that were set up to celebrate what God had done in your life. And so today I want to talk about 3 reasons why there's memory markers. There's these markers to remind. How many of you guys have bad memories, good memories? Anyone have a good memory? I was told once I had a photographic memory. The problem is I ran out of film. You know, everyone, anyone ever had their wife or spouse say, hey, Mark, or my wife said, honey, go to Safeway and grab this. And she'll say, now remember, I need this, this, and this. And I'll get to Safeway and I'll go. And she says, I know. I get to Safeway and I go, what does she want me to get? Anyone ever been like that? I love the fact there's text messaging now. I'll say, honey, just text me what you want. So I don't forget. But tonight, I want to talk about this idea of memorial stones. And why does God want us to put up stones as a memorial? 3 reasons we're going to talk about tonight. Number one, the first reason is to shake their memory. So they would remember. it was a visual sermon. Stack these stones up so you can remember why. Now, how many of you guys have certain things that are important to you? How many of you guys remember show and tell in school?
Yeah.
How many of you guys remember, that was my favorite part of school. I asked my son, what's your favorite part of school? Recess. My favorite part of school was show and tell. Anyone remember show and tell? And then heads up and seven up, because I could always hold my hand in such a way I could look underneath and see who was hitting my thumb. Remember those days? No, I didn't cheat. I leveraged my opportunities to win. It's not cheating. It's leveraging opportunities. But that's what I tell my kids when I win too. But there's several things about memories. Number one, I think memories are important. The reason why this was important was because God told Moses in Deuteronomy, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God told Moses, be a people of memory. Be a people who remembered what God had done. Now, who did Moses bring out of slavery? These were folks that had been in bondage for how many? 400 years. Remember that? They're in bondage for 400 years. And how were they led out of bondage? God gave Moses a stick that was powerful, threw it down, it would turn into a snake. You pick it up, it would turn back in. And he used that stick to touch the water, and frogs came out, to touch the ground, and lice came out. And the last of the miracles was the Passover, where the blood of the lamb, if it was applied to the doorpost of the home, the death angel would pass over the house. And remember that plague killed all the firstborn of every single person in Egypt if they didn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And then, so God leads Moses people out of bondage through miracle after miracle. They come to the Red Sea. The entire Egyptian army's chasing them. And what happens? The moment Moses touches the water with his staff, the water splits, and the Israelites march across on dry ground. And what does God tell Joshua, or excuse me, Moses? Be careful that you don't forget the Lord. What's he saying? Some of you guys might have spiritual amnesia, and I want to make sure you don't have, the problem isn't God, the problem is we have short-term memory loss. And sometimes when things go good, we forget to remind. And so memories are important, and we all have. We might not have rocks that we pile up for memory stones, but we all have memories. In fact, memories of places we've gone. Anyone ever have a place? We have two memorials in life. They're not built on stones, but they're built on memories. We all have memories. And those memories are built up of places. I have a bookend here that I bought in Kenya when I was on it. I spoke at the National Youth Convention in Kenya with my daughter. And when I was there, God started laying my heart to senior pastor. This has special memory for me because it reminds me of the time when God started stirring my heart for transition. There was a place. I can take you right over here at this altar on this side of the building. Back in 2011, God spoke to me about coming up and serving Bill Welch, the superintendent of the Assemblies of God. I heard God say, Mark, you're supposed to serve that man and lift his arms up. I can take you to places that God has encountered. The Israelites had places. They had the Red Sea. They had the Jordan River that just days earlier God had split for them to walk through. And he says, build a memorial to point back to all that God had done. My prayer for True North is you all would have a place. Yeah. I believe someday there's going to be a new place in the journey called True North, Fairbanks First Assembly of God, on 3295 College Road when we dedicate that new building in a year and a half, 2 years from now, as we celebrate hundreds and hundreds of people gathering at the same place to celebrate what God has done. Just like we celebrate the dedication of this building. Back in 1987, they paid off the debt in the building we're in right now. There's different places, but my prayer, you have a place. We also have memories of people. Memories of people. I think of mentors. I think of people who've spoken to my life. I think of camp back in 2000. In 2004, I was at a camp in Lake Stevens, Washington, and Benny Perez was the speaker. And Benny Perez didn't know me. There was 350 people there. And he says, stand up. What's your name? I said, Mark. He says, you're a change agent. He says, I see a rock being dropped into the water. And everywhere that rock touches, it's like a clear body of water. But when the rock gets dropped, there's a ripple effect. You're a change agent, and you're going to cause a ripple effect everywhere you go. And I can point to that prophetic word over my life, and it's happened. Why? But there's people I can. Do you have people you can point to? Now let me ask you this: who are you for someone else? People don't remember sermons; they remember people. Many of us can't remember what I preached last week. I might not be able to remember what I preached last week. But I know of people and what they've said to me. We also remember, we have memories of experiences, things that happened. One of the most profound experiences of my life was when I was at one of my mentors, Fulton Bunting. I was at his retirement party after 40 years. And I'm in this banquet hall with 2,000 people, and the governor of Washington was giving out an award that day as they named October 22nd, 2005, Dr. Fulton Bunting Day in the state of Washington, and they gave him this certificate. And I was there, and I remember saying this, as there's three current mayors that attended the church, and I remember saying, God, let me pastor a city like you let him pastor a city for 40 years. Do you have memories? What's your memory? What are your experiences? What are the places? We've also got mementos of the past. We've got things we keep. We've got plaques. We've got diplomas. We've got birth certificates for our children. We have marriage certificates, and the ones that we put on the wall that are more for decor because we sent the other one off to the state for registrations. And we have tombstones. We have things that we remember things by, and we focus on as important. We have wedding rings that remind us of certain events. What do we have for spiritual memories? Places we point back to say, God did my life. In a few weeks, our students are going to go to Anchorage for Alaska Youth Convention, AKYC. And if you're a parent here, get your kids signed up, because I believe there's days like that kids can point back to say, at Change Point Church in 2021, God did something profound at that altar in my life. We all need those places we point back to. Now, why do we sometimes have amnesia? We sometimes have spiritual amnesia because we get too much in a hurry. Maybe you're in a hurry to figure God out or figure life out. How many of you guys have ever, you know, gone on a vacation and you're such in a hurry, you didn't pack in time, and you left with everything but socks and your belt? Or underwear. Except for the one you're wearing, hopefully. We've all had those things we've left in a hurry. Abraham was in a hurry once. God spoke to him and said, your descendants will be as great and as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. And God was taking too long, so he tried to figure out by what? By hooking up with a concubine, Hagar, or not a concubine, excuse me, his wife's servant, Hagar, and to try to help God along because we're in a hurry. Can I just say something? Don't be in a hurry with God. Let God's timing work it all out. But why we sometimes lose, we're also sometimes our memories gone because we get helpless. Anyone ever been full of fear? I don't know about you. I'm not exactly enjoying the culture we live in right now. I mean, I just feel like fear dominates our culture, and fear and anxiety. And when we get full of fear and anxiety, we forget the goodness of the Almighty God and how he came through last time. If he came through last time, he'll come through this time. And so sometimes we feel helpless, and so we're kind of concerned, and we forget that God can do it again. If he did it before, he can do it again. I love that song. Or sometimes we're hurt, and when we're hurt, we start to focus on how we're hurt and how we're offended. And if I could just get back to that person, not realizing, you know, let God do that part. But I'm just sharing things. But here's what I want. What's the secret to make sure we don't get spiritual amnesia? I want to encourage you to write things down. Yep. Write things down. Take some time and write it down. And you might say, why? God shows us a model of writing things down. Our names, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you prayed that prayer today during communion, guess what? Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah. And the Bible says someday there's going to be a great white throne judgment. And the Bible says he's going to open up the books and will be judged according to what's in the books. In fact, the Bible says we'll be judged for every careless word we've ever spoken. In Psalms chapter 87, Psalms chapter 56, verse 8, it says, God has collected your tears in bottles and he's written every tear down in his book. What does that tell me? You might be in this room right now or listening online and you might think, does God know what I'm walking through? Does God know what I'm, God sees every tear you've cried. Every tear of joy, he's written it down because he does not want to forget. And I'm not trying to project humanity on God and to say that he's like us and forgets, but God writes it down as a model to us. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, it says he's written down, he has a book of remembrance where he's written down those who faithfully worship him. Do you realize that God has written down your name if you faithfully worship him? It's a God who writes things down. He wrote the Ten Commandments. He wrote them on stone tablets. Why? Because he wanted to make sure we knew what his commands were and how to live his life, a life for him. God writes things down. One day he got on the ground and wrote on the ground when these Pharisees took a woman caught in the act of adultery and threw her at his feet and said, what's the law say? And what does Jesus do? He gets down and starts to write in the sand. I don't know what he wrote, but whatever he wrote was convicting enough that from the oldest to the youngest, one by one, they left. Because he said, he who's without sin cast the first stone. And don't you love the book he wrote? 66 books, 27 different authors, an Old and New Testament, and yet there's one story that goes from Genesis to Revelation. Incredible book. Writing down things is important to God. It should be important to us. And I want to encourage you, write down. Don't just write down, journal. Write down the things of God. I have an old Bible in my office I had in college, and I wrote down the miracles. I remember writing in January 1991. I was outside a 7-Eleven in downtown Minneapolis, near where some of the riots had been the last year. And I remember this guy named Larry was asking for money. And there's three of us from Trinity Bible College. It's the middle of winter in January. And I remember praying for Larry at a 7-Eleven. And as we're praying for him, he's like, can you have some money for me? Can I get your bus ticket? And we said, well, we don't have money for a bus ticket, but can we buy you a Coke and a sandwich? We bought him a Coke. And I said, can we pray for you? He said, yes. We started praying for him. And all of a sudden, he says, what did you guys just do? I was drunk and now I'm not. And I wrote down his name, Larry, because I remember God sobered a drunk man up like that, and we led him to Jesus right there in Minneapolis. And I wrote down things like, you got to write those things down, memories. So when things go bad, you can point back to, God wants to shake your memory. That's why he had the Israelites do those stones, because he knew that some people had already forgotten about the Red Sea. How do I know they forgot about the Red Sea? Because a whole generation was willing to forfeit the promised land because the enemy was too big, because they forgot how much bigger their God was than the enemy. The second reason, if writing things down is important to God, it ought to be important to us. So write things down. Find a journal. I know many of us have digital maps or digital Bibles, but I write around the maps in my Bible. I think maps are there for us to cover up with lots of other things too. And I tape things on there. I do those things because I want to remember certain things and I write them down. The second reason we have stones is because, number two, to share their story of his story. The reason they did that was the Israelites to share their story of his story. When I say, break that down, history is his story. How many want to know you're living history right now? You're living his story through you. The Bible says you're living letters known and read by all men. I love what he says in Joshua chapter 4, verse 6. He says, the reason you build this memorial, this monument, this altar of rocks, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean. In verse 7, it says, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. When they ask why, are these, you ever had kids ask the question, why? I remember once, it was probably a couple years ago, Fulton says, Dad, can we go play outside? And it was one of these October days where the weather shifted and it was raining and it was cold. You know what I'm talking about in Fairbanks? I mean, it was that in-between time where you can't really ski yet and you don't want to do any mountain biking or your bike. It's just kind of that weird weather, that weird little, it's not breakup season, it's almost breakdown season, okay? And so it's that season. He goes, can we go play outside? And I go, you know, it's raining. He goes, why? And I thought he was asking, like, why is it raining? Well, because water's coming from the sky, Fulton. Why? Well, because there's clouds. Why? Well, honey, because there's something called vapor, and you know, there's cold air and there's warm air, and when it mixes, it condenses, it causes clouds, and then why? At that point, I said, I don't know why. Why? Because I'm stupid and don't know everything. Why? And I'm like, well, because my parents smoked too much. No, I didn't say that. Why? He says, build this because your kids are going to ask questions. And let me ask you this, if you're a parent in this place, are you living your life in such a way your kids ask you questions about what God has done? Why? And my wife shared the story once when she's driving downhill the hill in Anchorage when we lived there. And one of our kids says, Mom, you know, how come so-and-so, we don't have the clothes so-and-so has, and how can we buy name brand stuff at Value Village? And my wife's going, because it's cheaper. Why? And then my wife goes on, and my daughter says, well, Mom, are we poor? And my wife goes, no, honey, we're not poor. We just choose to spend our money differently. Why? Because there's something we've chosen to build our life upon that's different than what the world builds their life upon. There's a memorial stone. And Joshua is saying, there's going to come a time when people in the culture around here, they're going to go back to Gilgal. Gilgal's a place, if you look throughout the book of Joshua, they kept going back to Gilgal. Gilgal was center control. It was mission control center for the entire book of Joshua. It's where they kept going back to recalibrate their life and point. He says, when you come back here, these pile of stones, someday your kids will say, why? He goes on and says, and Joshua set up at Gilgal. The second time he talks about this, 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Tell them. Point back. I can point to a book, a bookend. And I can point to a certificate here, but what are the times in your life? And then it goes on and says, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he'd done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before until we'd all crossed over. What's he trying to do? He's trying to give a multi-generational faith to the next generation. That's why the Israelites prayed to what? The God, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's times when we pray with our kids when we're in crisis. We pray to the God of your mom and dad, but we pray to the God of Grandma and Grandpa Franco and the God of Grandma and Grandpa's wife. We pray to a God that is bigger, a God who split the Red Sea, a God who split the Jordan, that God. If you're a kid and you can point to a God who split the Jordan for your parents and a God who split the Red Sea for your grandparents, how many want to know that? That kid has pretty good memories. Think about. Why is this a problem? Christianity is just one generation from extinction. And there's one, there's some things I've taken a hit at True North as a pastor over. And one of the things I've taken a hit over is, Mark, there's such an emphasis on children and youth. And what about things for adults? And what about us? What about us? And we guys, I'll tell you right now, if we don't reach the next generation, we're one generation from extinction. If everyone alive right now dies, guess what? We're one generation. And think, well, is that really gonna happen, Mark? Can that happen? Well, let's go Joshua. Let's go past the end of Joshua to the book of Judges. 30 years after they crossed the Jordan River. Let's look what happens 30 years later. In Judges chapter 2, it says, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. He crossed the river when he was 80. Because he and Caleb were 40 years old when they went in as spies in Numbers chapter 14. They were 40 years old. They spent 40 years with a disobedient walking in circles. And then they crossed the Jordan River. So 30 years after they take the promised land, or they're in the promised land, he dies at the age of 110. Now watch this in verse 9. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Goash. After that, a whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he'd done in Israel. One generation and they lost it. That's why, if you're a parent in here, that's why, if you're a grandparent in here, that's why you serve in kids' ministry if you're a grandparent. That's why you serve in children's ministry if you're here. That's why, because we're one generation from extinction. Put the memorial stones up so you can tell the next generation the powers and the mighty things God has done. Well, you know, Mark, I'm just retired. Re-enlist. We're never done telling the next generation what God has done. We're never done. Why? To share their story of his story. Where does your story and his story intersect? And for those folks, it was in the center of the Jordan River where God split it. They took those rocks and they could point to the round rocks that didn't look like the landscape and said, there's something different. God did something here. The third reason. In fact, in 1 Peter says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In other words, there's no longer just rocks on a hillside over here. You are living stones. You walk planet Earth. You're temples of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. He has a shoe size and it's yours. And everywhere you go, he goes, and you have a story to tell. Make sure you're living a life worthy of the story God's put inside of you. The third reason he wanted them to put up stones as a memorial was number three, to shape their worship and their witness. To shape their worship and their witness. I love what this verse says. Joshua chapter 4, verse 24. He did this. He had them build the memorial. He did this so that all, say all, that all the peoples of the earth. Now, what the Israelites didn't understand at this time was that God wanted the whole earth to believe in him, not just they as God's special people with special revelation as the Israelite, God's people. God had the whole earth on his mind. He still does when he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't lead them through the Jordan River so just God's people could see the powers of God. He led them through the Jordan River so the whole earth, all the peoples might know, say no, might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. And that word fear is not be scared, not live in like, oh, does God have COVID and am I gonna get it? Not that type of fear. The fear was the awe and reverence for the Almighty God. He said, set up those memorials so you can remind yourself that God's hand is powerful. And when you go to worship him, you lift up his name, which is above all other names. You know, I don't know about you, worship shouldn't be some trite thing where we come in and just go, oh, well, I don't know if I like that song. I'm not gonna sing right now. I'm just gonna kinda, you know, and You remember those days, and I'm glad they're kind of over, where someone would send an email, if you love God, forward this to 12 people. It's like, how does that make me love God? But I think sometimes worship services can be like, well, we're just going to kind of, oh, next song, oh, they're going to have four songs, on a third, only one more, we're done. I hope that our worship is built because of the awe and the reverence of the Almighty God who speaks to us, who heals us, who redeems us, who set us free. We are blood bought. We're Christ-centered. We're devil-delivered. We're God-governed. We're heaven-headed. Anyone excited about that? Some of us are Pentecostal preaching, tongue-talking. That's who we are. We should be excited. There should be something in us that resonates and go, I could point to a time God did something powerful. I hope it's not so far gone you forget it. I hope there's new things you write down every day that God does. Now we close every one of our gatherings with some axioms. Some axioms as we close here today is number one, the 12 stones represent the fact that all 12 tribes experienced God's miracle. So think about that for a second. Remember, 2.5 tribes settled east of the Jordan. Gad, Reuben, and a half tribe of Manasseh settled for what? Settled for Moses' land, not the promised land. But part of that promise was they would help God's, the other 9.5 tribes possess the promised land. And then they go back to their settlements. But Joshua said, have a leader from each of the tribes go grab a stone. And what I love about that verse, the verse 1 of chapter 4 says, when the entire nation had finished crossing, the entire nation, everyone crossed over. You know, my prayer is that nobody at True North would be left out from what God's doing right now in your life, but also that every one of us would cross over and possess all God has for us. The whole nation, all 12 tribes. My prayer is that True North Church would be a place that every generation, every race, every tribe, every tongue, because when we get to heaven, I can tell you right now, there's not the white church in heaven and the black church in heaven and the Hispanic church in heaven and the Russian church in heaven and the people who don't know what church they belong to in heaven. All of us are there. Every tribe and tongue. I sure hope, every age. I hope all of us and all 12 of them, it represented all. In other words, what does that mean? There's no one in here that God doesn't have a story he wants to write through. Well, I don't know. I've settled for some stuff that's not as good as what God had. It doesn't matter what you settled for before. God has something new for you today. Number two, the stones came from the middle. Say middle. Middle. The middle of the Jordan. God is always in the middle of your miracle. In fact, there is a part in verse 12, 13, that says, and Joshua went back, and Joshua set up a memorial in the middle of the Jordan himself. And the 12 tribes took stones from the middle and took them and set them up outside the water. In fact, the Bible says that to this day, you can still see the altar that's in the middle of the water. God wants to do something on the inside of you, and God wants to do something on the outside of you for the world to see. There's some things that no one's gonna see because it's covered, and there's some things that the whole world will see because you're gonna uncover it. But what I love is wherever your miracle is, God's in the middle of that place. Go to where the priests are, and that's where the presence of God was. That's the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, you're walking through something deep right now. God's right in the middle of what you're walking through. Right in the middle of what you're walking through. There's not a miracle you're gonna have. There's nothing gonna happen to you that God has not seen. There's no, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard what God wants to do inside your life. Number three, the church is one generation from extinction. One generation from extinction. The next generation. And I'm crazy enough to believe that at True North and that God's gonna do something incredible. I can't, you know what I can't wait for? I can't wait till someday in our new facility with 825 seats, it's entirely full of teenagers. I can't wait till we do mega sports camp. And we have a parking lot that has 1,000 spots to park. And think about mega sports camp at that type of parking lot. Think of how many of you will have to be helped, be leaders to make that happen. Because we're one generation from extinction. One generation. Number four, God loves to market himself to a world far from him. Build that memorial stone so that peoples, all the peoples of the earth will know. See, I'm convinced long before they came up with business marketing classes in the universities in America to teach marketing and communications, God was marketing himself for years. Why did he do the 10 plagues in Egypt? So the whole world would know he's powerful. Why did he split the whole Red Sea? So the whole world would know he's powerful. Why did he split the Jordan River? So the whole world would know his hand is powerful. Why has God transformed your life? Because you're a living stone. You're a living letter that can be known and read by all men so people can see the power of the Almighty God through your life. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. I want to pray over you right now because I believe the possibilities. Are there things you can point back to? Just as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, are there things you can point back to that God has done in your life? People, places, experiences. My prayer is this fall, as we hit our church capacity and we're moving toward the season of growth God has for us, that we would all experience a new level of faith, a new level of possibilities. Lord, I pray that we as a church would walk into all you have for us. All the covenant promises, all the prophetic promises over our church and over our region, Lord. God, we want to encounter you in a powerful way. Thank you for that in Jesus' name.